This is Morning Edition on AM 580, and it's time now for our opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. March wheat in Kansas City opened at 409.5, up 6.75 on the open. July, 414, up 6.75. At the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 350, up 2.75 on the open. May, 361.5, up 3. July, 371, up 2.25. September, 381, up 2.5. December, 393, up 2.25 on the open. March corn opened at 222.5, up 2 on the open. May, 232.5, up 1.25. July, 241, up 1.75. September, 248, up 1.25. December, 257.75, up 1. March, 263.75, up 1 on the open. March oats opened at 201.75, up 5.75 on the open. March beans opened at 585, up 1 on the open. May, 597.5, up 3/4. July, 609, up 2. August, 612, up 1.5. September, 613, down a half. November, 622, up 1. January, 626, up a half on the open. March soybean meal opened at 181.90, unchanged on the open. May, 184.80, up 10. March soybean oil opened at 21.97, up 2 on the open. May, 22.40, up 1. Over on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, March feeder cattle opened at 108.55, down 15 on the open. April, 109.30, down 37.5. May, 109.60, down 2.5 on the open. February live cattle opened at 92.45, down 15 on the open. April, 90.20, down 20. February lean hogs opened at 54.40, down 15 on the open. April, 59.60, down 47.5. May, 65.30, down 20. June, 67.10, down 57.5 on the open. And February pork bellies open at 74.35, down 7.5 on the open.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Want to talk about wheat. Particularly Kansas City wheat to start. Yesterday, the first close above $4 in the spot March contract since April of 2004. It gapped open again this morning, and as you look at technical charts, Mike, you see it moving potentially in 10-cent increments, maybe all the way up to 431. Are you that bullish?
Well, in Kansas City, maybe. I think that's the big thing that we're going to have to find out here in the next week or two, Dave. But it's pretty interesting that Chicago is probably the weak link due to the acreage increase that USDA gave us and also due to the sluggish soft red exports. It was nice to see India in for some wheat yesterday, but expectations are that's it because they do have a good crop coming in March, April, but we don't know where that's going to shake out. But if you go back to the technicals and look at Chicago, since we feel that that's the weak link in this whole picture, we really need to see the technicals remain firm, and they're real crucial to the psychology of the whole complex to stay friendly, and that bleeds over into the corn market. And what I'm getting at is our high today in March at 353 in Chicago, that is real close to the September 05 high at 353 and the July 05 high at 354. But when I look at a monthly continuation chart, we have not been above 350 on a monthly close since May of 2004 in Chicago. We've been higher than 350. We've even gone close to 390, I think, at one point during that time period or after that time period. But we've never been able to really close that month out with a close above 350 in Chicago lead month futures. And so for Kansas City to take those kind of incremental steps you're talking about, we would think that the Chicago would need to play along because at some point you're probably going to have Chicago lean and lay on the KC enthusiasm if exports don't improve and if acreage is that big for this new crop soft red, stand.
Then let's go ahead and ask you if at this time is corn the leader in the market or is wheat the leader in the market? and I look at March corn at 222 and three quarters, it's got above that 221 resistance. In fact, the 222 point that we saw high as a high earlier in the week. So does corn lead us up or does wheat lead us up?
Well, there's some in the trade that believe that corn is the leader to the upside, and even the Newswire report this morning from a Kansas City report and a trader thinking that there was, you know, corn being the leader. I would suspect that's more based upon the Deutsche Bank index and more expectations and people thinking that there's going to be more index buying today in corn, and in that respect, corn is leading the wheat up. I can see that argument, but in the big picture, we feel like that the wheat really is the leader, and it goes back to the global market. They think there is some winter kill potential that's been done already in the Ukraine, parts that did not get a snowpack before this real bad weather system came in terms of cold. And, you know, our southern plains with the new National Weather Service 30-day update that came out yesterday suggesting below normal precip for the next 30 days. Those are the kind of things, and since we feel like wheat is more the global market and the most competitive market out there where we see the most competition, if we can get wheat to go higher, then corn has a very strong role to play to the upside as well. So I guess we still feel like wheat's the main leader here.
So where does wheat have to go then for Dee's corn to get to that 260 and a quarter, the one September high?
Well, at July futures, if we would get up to around 380 to 385, we would probably peg December corn somewhere between 262 and 265, Dave. And, you know, we have not made any secret at all with our clients that we really want to be 100% hedged in 06 corn if we would get to that 280 level. But we're going to do the last 70% or the last 60%, two-thirds to three-quarters of our hedging of anticipated bushels with bought puts because we really do want to see A, where the wheat shakes out and how high is in Kansas City, and B, exactly what the planting weather is. We don't want to oversell cash bushels this early if we do get to 280 D's futures, because if we do have delayed plantings in corn, we can take a whole other level up in the corn because the acreage issue is so sensitive to the Chicago people this year.
Generally speaking, and I do mean generally, where are we on bought puts then?
We have zero bought puts right now. We've been doing HTA sales with calls defending us. You know, we bought the calls way back when, several months ago, when we were down around that 240 level. We're locking in some HTA sales at the 255 level. We'll get up to a third to 40% sold at the 265 level, and then if we can make another 15-cent jump to 280, we'll do bought puts at that point. We're probably looking at 260s. We really want to try and get something that would be 15 cents or less in terms of cost, and that gives the producer the ability to roll up puts. We used those in beans last year. They worked very well when we rolled up because the market kept going up, and we were able to jump 20, you know, cents. We'd be able to, we think, jump 20 cents in strike price for maybe only 5 or 6 cents additional cost, and all the while not have any cash sold.
Turn our attention to soybeans, where Monday we did see an attempt to fill a gap left over from 6 January at 610. It couldn't fill that gap, and ever since it's been on a downtrend this week. Some would say a consolidation basis. How are you looking at it?
Yeah, probably the same way, except for the idea that Wednesday was a real key day when we didn't have the wheat and the corn supporting us, that the beans really played a pretty negative role in the marketplace. And so they definitely are a lagging role in our minds behind the corn and wheat trade. And, you know, one thing that we really want to encourage people to think about is March delivery approaches, and that's around the end of the February time period and the first notice day for March futures. You've got physical supplies in the U.S. and newly harvested physical supplies in South America that we think they'll really start to overshadow somewhat what the wheat market does. Even if the Kansas City wheat and the situation in the Southern Plains remains bleak and the crop is going down, 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 there's a point where there's probably going to be a divergence between wheat and beans because the physical supplies. And when I got back in the office last night and looked at the year-to-date commitments, after 22 weeks, beans are down 23%, oil's down 37%, meal's down 1%, and you've got double the carryover of last year. And so at some point in time, even the wheat probably won't help the bean market go higher. It could keep it from falling too much, maybe, but to keep it from going up is probably what we're looking at in the next 10 to 15 days.
Today, the last trading day for live cattle options for the February contract. Anything out there that might give us pause?
No, most of the people seem to have shaken out. The golden rule looks like it's starting to take hold and has been effective. I think probably the biggest thing we're worried about, it comes back to the feeder market and this National Weather Service forecast for the Southern Plains. The guys in the Southern Plains that we work with that have both a lot of wheat and a lot of cattle are saying very very bluntly at this point, Dave, if you can't get us rain in a couple of weeks, we're going to put some pretty big numbers of feeders in the lots because we're out of pasture and we're out of water. So it's going to be one of those years where the cattle guys in Tuscola and on south there really want to watch to see if hay does not move down south because there's not enough water even to feed hay, that we actually see the cattle move north this year. We're already starting to get whispers of that into Kentucky and Arkansas and Tennessee of southern feeders bringing stocker cattle up as far north as Tennessee. I heard yesterday from a cattle guy in Ohio. So it's an issue where usually on drought you see hay go down south and the cattle stay down there. This may be an issue where the drought's so bad and the water's so low that if they don't go in the feedlots, the cattle go up north, and that's really going to hurt our feeder market. So we got to be very, very aware of that, and I think that'll give us a good idea of how bad it is in the wheat country when it comes to what we talk about in wheat on its own.
Thanks much, Mike.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Have a nice one.
You too. Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bezdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.